To kick off, I'm going to introduce you to my family. Our son on the far right, Jordan, is on staff here at Watermark. Our daughter and son-in-law are members here, so it's really fun. Our grandkids get the benefit of being part of the children's ministry. So that's been a sweet thing for us to have our family together and be here. Part of the fruit is Lucina and I think about our story of just hanging in there and staying together, what God allowed for us. And so when Lucina and I got married, we had great expectations and felt we were really set up well to do this marriage thing. And there was a video that Watermark did over 10 years ago. You're going to watch it and
like
say, are those the same two people that are in that video? But we wanted to show it because I think it fast forwards, it kind of downloads a little bit of our story, and then I'll pick up from there. So if you will, just watch this video with us.
When Lucina and I got engaged, I think most people would have said, with where we were, that if anyone had a high likelihood of and probability of having a long-lasting, fulfilling, joyful, fun marriage, it was us.
From the honeymoon on, I got to see that how on opposite sides of the spectrum we were from a personality perspective. We're both pretty driven people, pretty kind of type A people. And yet, there are some real distinct differences.
Really, I felt like we were doing great. That, we were fulfilling kind of the design of what marriage is supposed to look like. And that that got radically altered one Sunday afternoon.
He would withdraw, like the newspaper up, and kind of, la, 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 I can't hear you. And I would get louder. And I would scream. I would yell. I threw hairbrushes across parking lots. I stormed. I threw lots of tantrums. Really, something like you would see a child do.
She said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Great. Let's sit down and talk." And she said, "Well, you need to know that I don't love you. That I don't really like you." The thought of being married to you is repulsive to me. That I look forward now each week to the fact that I get to travel and leave on Monday morning or Sunday night. And I'm miserable. And you also need to know that I made a commitment as a follower of Christ before God to stay married to you until death do us part. And so I'm going to be praying for your death."
I lost hope in God, in His ability to fix it. I memorized verses. I could quote them. I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I knew that I had to crucify my flesh every day and take up the cross, and I knew that I was supposed to, in honor, prefer one another. And I knew those things, and yet they fell apart on a daily basis, and I began not to just lose hope, but I began to hate.
One of my first thoughts was, God, what are people going to think? I've got to do something so that people don't view me as a failure. But as I moved through that, I think the Spirit started to take me where I was, and He started to humble me.
But beginning to look at how I related on a day-by-day basis, how I gave in to my flesh on a day-by-day basis, when I began to own that and own the little things, that's when I really began to see, a change.
I'll be real honest with you. It got a whole lot worse before it got better. It was quite a journey. It was not overnight transformation. We set out on, as we look back, on a marathon.
You know, we were polarized. You do your thing, I do mine, and kind of never the twain shall meet. Today, I am loved. I'm cherished. I know I am the most important thing to Him, and nothing else comes before that. And no matter what we face in the difficulties that we cross now or even in the future, He is for me.
You know, I'm still a fallen man. I'm still, God's still growing me and teaching me. Lucina loves me enough to remind me of some of the ways that that I tend to isolate.
Man, if anything, the greatest thing we have now is that we got friends that when I think I'm doing well and he doesn't hear me and I like get louder and louder and someone will do a check and they'll go, wow, Lucina, I just got to tell you what I hear and see you doing.
The one thing we've learned that's really important and I think a key to the health of our marriage is we are very, very quick to work through issues and conflict. We keep very short accounts with each other. We get to a healthy place again very quickly.
It doesn't matter what has happened. He can redeem anything. And that's what He's done. He's taken my mistakes, my pain, my failures, and redeemed them for good. And really has given us a future and a hope together forever.
Well, the reason it doesn't seem like that long ago when that video was shot is because my wife doesn't look any different. I'm just not sure who the man is that's in that video with her. We've been married 41 years, and I'm so thankful.
Thank you. Clap for that. Absolutely.
I am so thankful Lucina just had that perspective that, hey, I made a vow, and so I'm going to stick it out. And our story is really largely defined by Romans 15:13, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that verse really speaks to the fact that when things are really hopeless, when you have no hope, it's the Spirit that allows us to have a thread of hope for what He has for us. And you know, our story is really a transformation of me. And as He changed me, God restored our marriage. And Lucina's heart over years came back to life. And we got derailed largely because I wasn't fully committed to follow Christ. And I wasn't fully committed to follow His design for marriage. And the results of that we experienced very early on was really a progression of selfishness and, on my part, withdrawal that just led to a deadness and a hopelessness. And where that eventually led for me and Lucina, which you'll hear more about, is just a painful betrayal of everything that we vowed on our wedding day. I was selfish and just focused on my needs, heavily performance-based. My love for her was based on how I felt that she was loving me and doing things for me. And so if that wasn't happening, then I just withheld that. Relied heavily on my feelings. And as conflict emerged, I just withdrew instead of engaging with her. I didn't love her, didn't pursue her, I didn't cherish her. I didn't try to understand her or her perspective. And I felt like I just kind of settled for a normal, okay marriage, kind of what I saw around me as I grew up. And it's just what the enemy wanted to do to take me down. And part of the consequences of that were I left Lucina alone. I left her vulnerable, and I left her hopeless. And as we moved through that, you know, there was an obvious deterioration of our physical relationship. And so I just resorted to a lot of what I did before we got married, which was pornography and masturbation, instead of pursuing and loving Lucina. And that just led to more isolation. You know, Matthew 5, Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust for her, then you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And so I was just a serial adulterer, which just magnified the issues for us.
So I'll give you the rest of the ugly story before we get to the good part. And there is a good part, and there's a great part today. You heard a lot of what I'm going to repeat right now on the video, but I'm going to tell you really five keys to the rest of the story for me. First, I trusted my feelings versus what I knew to be true. You heard me on the video. As a believer, I journaled despair, I memorized scripture, I prayed, and still I felt miserable and alone, and that God was silent. I was begging, and I didn't hear anything from God. The second thing is that I learned that I knew nothing about perseverance, that great character quality, and I didn't know anything about it. And the truth of Hebrews 12 through 15, became a reality for me. And this is what it says. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame, even your marriage, may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. See to it, it drops down, that no one fail to obtain the grace of God and that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. And by it, many become defiled. Oh, I should have heeded that verse, but instead I allowed bitterness to take root in my heart and in my soul, and it colored all of my thinking about this man. As you heard on the video, I literally began to loathe my husband. Number three, I was oblivious to my own vulnerability. I thought I was strong. I thought I was bulletproof. And this led to business as usual in every area of my life. And I was in the corporate world. I was traveling sometimes 5 days a week. And an emotional affair ended in adultery. The guilt and the shame for me were absolutely overwhelming because I knew better. But so was the attraction and the affirmation. I realized quickly that I was powerless to stop this unless I cut the ties and ran back to the truth that I knew with a renewed desperation. I clung to 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and he'll forgive your sins. And to Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. And his steadfast love to those that fear him, as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove your transgression from you. And I loved that. It ministered to me because I knew that God would forgive me. I did confess to him, and I knew he forgave my sin. But I also made another vow at this point, and I vowed that no one would ever know about this. I mean, how could that be good? What good would come from it? It would be painful for everyone. Besides, all the couples we were around at that time seemed to be living happily ever after, which really wasn't true. That was a lie too. But you know how looks can be so deceiving. And the fourth thing I did was begin after that to focus on my part. That's what you're learning, which now I knew my part was huge. I knew nothing about what Kyle just told you about. I had no idea. But I began to look at me instead of focusing on him. And that's what you've learned, to draw the circle around me and fix what's within that. And then begin to let healing take place. But really, the breakthrough didn't come until 13 years later when we started this little work with about 200 people called Watermark Community Church in 1999. At the first leadership conference we had, we were challenged from Joshua 7 about the sin of Achan. And like the Israelites, we were told that everyone in this new work of God would be affected if there was anything we were hiding, a sin. And so we were encouraged to go back and examine our heart and listen to God call you out of the darkness and into the light. I never made it to the room. I was sobbing all the way. Confession to Kyle followed, and the rawness of our pain at that moment brought new growth and new understanding and real, true forgiveness from the person that I had hurt the most, and an unconditional acceptance I really had never known. And so where does that leave us now? Now I know I'm loved by my King and this man. I know I'm accepted unconditionally by my Father, God, and by this man. I know Kyle also can never satisfy the deepest longing of my heart. That's God's job alone. And I must never look to this man to do that. I'll be disappointed all the time. But he's an awfully close second, I've learned 20-some years later, and truly the greatest living testimony to the joy of my salvation and the redeeming work of Jesus Christ to bring a dead thing back to life.
Just in closing, a couple of comments. Some of the things that Lucina and I have learned just along the way, and even some of these are more recent, is one is just never too late to be faithful today. I just have to do the right next thing. And God takes that and honors it and uses it. And just the fact that, you know, God uses hard situations and our faithfulness just to refine us and to grow us through suffering. And, you know, one of the things I love about my Bible is it's full of those stories. I mean, everybody that God used, and you see he can continue to use in our culture today, but they all went through significant adversity, suffering, difficulty. You know, you look at Moses, you know, murder and withdrawal. You look at Paul, you know, a present-day terrorist. You look at David, an adulterer. And so many of those folks that you look at, read your Bible, I mean, those are the people God used. And it reminds me that there's no such thing as a plan B with God. You know, sometimes, I know during our early marriage, I thought, okay, well, we've kind of messed it up. So maybe there's a plan B, C, or D that God might have for us. Maybe there's something good that can come out of this. And the reality was that there is no plan B, that he takes where we are. He causes or allows everything that happens. And so, and he uses it in a way that allows us to experience him and life in a different way. One of the things Lucina and I do now, you know, largely because of our past, I mean, we have a high regard for making sure that we cherish the richness that he's given through what we've learned from the past. And, you know, I've drank the dirty water. I know what the consequences are for going down a path in the depth of the ditch. And so I just had to learn the hard way. And so we have a high value on just making sure that our lives are completely overlapped, whether that's, you know, business that I'm involved in, our kids, our grandkids, what we're doing in our neighborhood, everything. And through all the twists and turns in our journey, he's just allowed us to redevelop and rebuild. Build, because I don't think we had any of these things when we started, but he allowed us to develop a relational intimacy, an emotional intimacy, a spiritual intimacy, and all of those tie in, obviously, to the physical intimacy. And so I just never really realized or understood how intertwined all of that was. And, you know, I wouldn't trade our story and our journey for anyone's. And, you know, I say that not saying I would encourage people to do what we did, you know, so that you can have what we have. But there's a richness that I'm like, I'm so thankful for the way God has taught me. And we both see how God has used it and to create what we have today after 41 years.